Rob Rose. The shame of Mapiz and Kakula's Kosa whitewash. In refusing to distance herself from the shameful whitewash presented by an SA National Defense Force, SANDF, Board of Inquiry into the killing of Collins Kosa, Defense Minister Noziviwe Mapiz and Kakula has taken a high-stakes gamble. As anger mounts, it's a political gamble that may just backfire on her. Collins Kosa is the most high-profile victim of army brutality during the COVID-19 lockdown, who died hours after being assaulted by soldiers on Good Friday of blunt force head injury, accompanied by hemorrhaging in the brain. Yet remarkably, last week an Army Board of Inquiry chaired by Brigadier General Viscount Nkobo declared that the death of Mr. Kosa was not caused by the SANDF, nor the Joburg Metro Police Department. It smacked on an obvious cover-up. And it evoked the clumsiness of the apartheid-era security police who would torture activists to death, then claim they'd slipped on a bar of soap. Everyone knew it was a lie, but the very obviousness of the falsehood was itself an act of intimidation, designed to flag their contempt for the victim and his family. Today, SA is a democracy, with a Bill of Rights which outlaws extrajudicial killing and torture. And yet for the SANDF, Board of Inquiry to have cleared those soldiers, while inexplicably ignoring the version of events attested to by Kosa's partner, Nomsa Mansha, speaks to a chilling disdain for these rights. There are, of course, echoes of Kosa's murder in the U.S., where the killing of 46-year-old George Floyd by a policeman in Minneapolis last week has sparked protests in 75 cities. The rioting has got so bad that Attorney General William Barr decried the damage as domestic terrorism. Yet in Minneapolis, there has been some accountability. The policeman, Derek Chauvin, was arrested and charged with murder. In essay by contrast, as Rapport editor Waldemar Pelser points out, the SANDF refused for 6 weeks to suspend the soldiers who assaulted Kosa until he died. Wicca Steele, the lawyer for Kosa's family, told the FM yesterday, "We do not accept the report, or the investigation. It is ridiculous for the SANDF to find themselves not guilty without interviewing the family. Parts of the report," he says, "are simply unbelievable." In Mansha's affidavit, she sets out exactly what happened with Kosa. When two soldiers arrived at his house on Good Friday, they did not take kindly to him answering them back, and evidently failing to grovel before their authority. So they took him outside onto the street to teach him a lesson. First, they poured beer on his head, then one soldier held his hands behind his back, while the other choked him, they slammed him against a cement wall, they hit him with the butt of a machine gun, and they kicked, slapped and punched him. Soon after they left, he began vomiting and couldn't stand. Within hours, he was dead. The inquest report, done by a pathologist on April 14, revealed that the cause of death of Mr. Kosa is blunt force head injury, accompanied by a subarachnoid hemorrhage in the brain. Yet if you read the SANDF, Board of Inquiry report, you'll get another impression entirely. That report said the soldiers began having an argument with Kosa and his brother-in-law Tabiso Muvhango, after which the two men were forced to comply. The force used was pushing and clapping in order for the men to comply with the instruction, they said. In their implausible telling of it, Kosa was conscious and healthy when the security forces left. Credibility on the line. Last week, Mapiz and Kakula was asked about the inquiry's findings, and she said she wouldn't comment because it's still under investigation, and in terms of the court, it's, in fact, a sub judice matter. It was a lamentable response. By not distancing herself from the whitewash, Mapiz and Kakula is playing South Africans for gullible fools. After all, which sounds more likely to you? That Kosa's death by blunt force trauma was due to soldiers merely pushing and clapping him? Or was it more likely to be due to the torture and assault that Mansha describes? Mapiz and Kakula ought to have realized what was at stake. Nothing less than her own credibility and the legitimacy of President Cyril Ramaphosa's lockdown. And insisted that the Board of Inquiry, at the very least, speak to Kosa's family and the witnesses. But in the absence of that, for that board to have so lamentably failed to do its job, and for Mapiz and Kakula to have tacitly sanctioned it, shows just how ill-equipped they are to serve in our democracy's government. In the Sunday Times, editors Thembiso Msomi compared the Kosa situation with that of Floyd, arguing that SA is fortunate that the Kosa injustice has not resulted in the kind of anger and protest we have seen in the U.S. For Msomi, the The key lies in ensuring those responsible are ultimately held accountable for Kosa's death. There are, of course, many dynamics to George's murder, and much great analysis on it. This includes from The New Yorker, Politico, and even Essay's Trevor Noah, in a clip that's been watched more than 4 million times. Talk show host and writer Eusebius McKeyser wrote that our quiet response to Kosa's death shows that we, including many of us as black citizens, struggle to take seriously the right to life and the right not to be tortured by our own state. There are, at least, a number of online petitions, including this one, demanding justice for Collins Kosa, which have already collected more than 10,000 signatures. Steele is also preparing to challenge the SANDF report on behalf of Kosa's family. It's unlikely to be a process that will reflect well on the army, or its political head. In thinking South Africans were going to timidly accept a whitewash, it seems that Mapisa and Kakula may have misread the mood. If her, and the soldiers who killed Kosa, aren't held responsible, it will cause deep damage to the psyche of a nation which already believes there is scant accountability for the politically protected. At the end of Mansha's affidavit, she says the incident has led to her losing complete faith in the security forces, and the SANDF, in particular. She's not the only one. If you want to see what happens when that skepticism becomes more widespread, take a look at any number of U.S. cities right now. This is a roundup of the best COVID-19 news from the web, brought to you in today's FM Lockdown newsletter. To subscribe, for free, click here.